We're holding Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the seventh line. Going through the continuation of things that the Mishnah had said that you can say B'chol Loshen. So the first, our next one was Tefillah, was Shemina Esrei. And the Gemara says for that, you don't need a Pasuk, unlike the other ones for Shema and for Parsha Sota and so forth, where we need Pesukim for it. The fact that you can daven in any language is obvious. Rachmihi, davening is all about asking for Hashem's Rachmanus. So obviously, therefore, so whatever language a person wants to daven in, he could. You don't need a pasuk to tell us that. After all, especially tefillah is supposed to be avodah shebalev. If you don't understand what you're saying, then it's not avodah shebalev anyway. So the Gemara asks, so tefillah b'chol loshen, is that really the case that you can daven Shemana Esrei in any language? Didn't Rav Yehuda say that a person should never ask for his needs in the Aramaic language? Rav Yehuda says that if a person asks for his needs in the Aramaic language, then the Malachi Asharis won't get involved with it to help him. Now, like this, the person's tefillos need help to be brought up lamaila. The Malachim do that. So the Malachim don't bother with tefillos in Aramaic, Lefisha and Malachi Asharis Makirin Baloshan Arami, because the Malachi Asharis do not recognize the Aramaic language. Now, there's a lot of different explanations in this. Does this mean that they don't understand it? Somebody showing him understand. Rashi understands that it means that they don't. Rashi says that that it means they don't understand it. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who say that the Tosfos elsewhere says that Malachim even understand what people are thinking. Although that itself, there are Achronim who discuss where exactly is Tosfos getting that from. You don't seem to have a clear source for the idea that Malachim understand what we're thinking. But whatever the case, Tosfos is saying that they do. So Tosfos says, of course, that they understand the Aramaic language. They don't like it. They don't appreciate it because within that itself, you have several different explanations of Rishonim. Is it that they don't? Is it that we mean Aramaic or any other foreign language? They only want to pay attention to Tfilis and Lashon Kodesh, or the Rosh, for example, brings the idea that Davka Aramaic they have something against because Aramaic is like a corrupted version of Lashon Kodesh. So there's a lot of different explanations, and this is Negeya Lahalacha as far as the question, for example. So the Gemara is going to answer that there's a difference between the Yochid and the Tzibur. So one outgrowth of that is that we have certain tefillos that are said in Aramaic, which we don't say biyochid. You have, for example, when you're saying slichas before Rosh Hashanah, at the end you have a couple of paragraphs that are in there. You have a couple of paragraphs machay umasei that are in Aramaic and morad nivishmaya. So the minhag is you don't say them when you're davening. If you're saying slichas by yourself, you don't say them based on what we're saying over here that the malachim don't understand, or as the case maybe don't understand or don't want to pay attention to because they don't like the language, the Aramaic language. And again, that does that mean only Aramaic, or does it mean any other foreign language? Anyway, the question is: so what are you telling me? You can daven in any language. Within that by itself, by the way, you have this that was a person needs malachim in order to help bring up his tefillos. There is also a good deal of discussion among the poskim about whether you're allowed to address your requests to the malachim, or you're allowed to ask the malachim to help you out with that. You have various tefillos that we say here and there that where we do. We have, for example, another one of the things at the end of Slichos over there is Machnisei Rachmi, Machnisei Rachameinu. You have one of the Slichos that we say on one of the days begins Malachi Rachmi Meshose Elyon. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, we have one that begins Shloshes Yomidos Hamoris Machnino, where we seem to be appealing to the Shloshes Yomidos themselves. And there's a lot of things like that. So there's a good deal of discussion about whether such things are allowed. The upshot is you have minhagim that you have kehillos where they either don't say those where they either don't say those requests at all, or they change the wording to for example, in Shlosha Sumidus, most Slichas books have it more that the requests in there are addressed to Hashem, or to oneself, to go before Hashem, rather than to Malachim. On the other hand, there is strong support among various poskim for saying the idea that you can ask them, recognizing, of course, they're not independent, they don't have any independent powers of their own, Chas v'Shalom, but you're asking them to be essentially gute betters for you, to help you, to help bring your tefillos before Hashem. Anyway, so we're saying over here in the Gemara, the Malachim don't understand or don't like the Aramaic language. So what are you telling me that you can daven in any language? The answer is like Kasha habiyochid habitzibur. There's a difference between davening biyochid or bitzibur. When a person is davening biyochid, he needs the Malachim to help bring up his tefillos to Hashem. So therefore, he shouldn't be davening in Aramaic, because then the Malachim are not going to help him out. But if he's davening with Sibur, that Sibur's tefillah is never rejected by Hashem. So therefore, you don't need as much that Malachim should come and help with bringing it up to Hashem. Therefore, they can be davening. Therefore, they can be davening in any other language. There are some Rishonim who learn actually that it doesn't only mean davening biyachid versus bitzibur. They draw the distinction. In other words, are you davening? The difference is not so much whether you're davening biyachid or bitzibur, but whether you're saying the same tefillas that bitzibur is saying, for example, standard Shemoneh Esrei, versus when you're making your own requests. So then, according to that, the vote would be when you're making your own requests to Hashem, whether it's in Shemoneh Esrei, whether it's outside of Shemoneh Esrei, for something to happen or something to not happen, then you're saying you should be using Lashon Kodesh, because the Malachim don't understand Lashon Arami. But if you're davening the same Shemoneh Esrei as the Tzibur does, then you can be using Aramaic, or if you want to. So that's one way. And then the other understanding is exactly what it sounds like, the difference whether you're davening in Shul with the Tzibur or whether you're davening the Yechidus.
Isn't there a clear fact that we don't need the Malachim to bring our prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Jews
don't. That's what we're saying. That a person does require, a person does need the Malachim to help him. Rashi says flat out, Sorech Sheyisayu, Malachi Asharis. The Yochin needs the Malachi Asharis to help and bring us tefillah before Hashem. Only the Tzibur doesn't need it. Yochid also obviously depends on the level of the Yochid, and depends, for example, the Gemara elsewhere says that the gates of tears are never closed. So if a person is davening with tears and he's davening sincerely, then yeah, maybe he doesn't need the Malachim to help to bring up his tefillah either. But we're talking about regular run-of-the-mill davening. So yes, a person does need Malachim to help.
So if that's the case, how come Chana, when she davened, she was heard directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
She was
a yachid.
She was crying.
So
she
what? Crying. I mean, if you're saying that we need Malachim,
and I just said, one second. First of all, she was crying, and it's a shouted Moris Leninavu. And second of all, she was also an exceptional tzaddikus. And besides, actually, where do you see that Malachim didn't help and bring her tefillah in front of Hashem?
I never said Malachim didn't help. I questioned the fact that we need Malachim to have access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Chas v'shalom. A Yid has a direct connection, has a direct line to Hashem. But a person's tefillahs need a certain assistance in order to, you know, think of it in terms of what it talks about in Chassidus, that a person needs, for example, that a person needs Av of a Yira, like we talked about previously, for his mitzvahs to fly up to Hashem. Does the average person always do his mitzvahs and do his davening with that state of Av HaYira? Not necessarily. So you need some assistance from the Malachim. The Pashtus, these would be, for example, Malachim that were accomplished by a person's other mitzvahs that now help. They're his Sanegar. They help defend him before Hashem. So therefore, they bring his tefillah. They bring his tefillah before Hashem and find the deep down Kavanah in it, let's say. That's where we are saying that a person requires Malachim to help bring his tefillah to Hashem, and therefore when he's davening biyachid, then he shouldn't be davening in Aramaic, because the Malachim then won't pay attention to it. With all that said, Achronim say we don't mean that the Tzibur should regularly be davening in a different language. The fact is that Tzibur is supposed to be davening in Lashon Kodesh, especially, of course, you know, once in the last couple hundred years, once Reform came along and whatever, and they started altering things and making it a standard thing to daven in English or German or what have you, then, of course, you know, it's not really so correct for the Tzibur to daven in any other language except Lashon Kodesh. So we mean Bakrai. We mean, for example, that, you know, once in a while they could be davening in a different language, but Derech Klal, of course, the Tzibur should be davening in Lashon Kodesh. Okay.
So are you saying, one second, the majority of the Jewish people, at least half, doesn't daven in Lashon Kodesh. And so you're saying that Hashem doesn't hear practically the majority of the Jewish people because they don't daven in Lashon Kodesh?
One second. Where are you getting that from? First of all, we're saying when they daven Betzibur, when a Tzibur davens,
where am
together,
I getting that?
They don't need Malachim to help them. Hashem listens to their tefillah no matter what level they're on, even if they're all Rishon. We're talking about when a person is davening Yichidus, the Gemara is saying, that he should be davening in Lashon Kodesh in order for the Malachim to help him out and bring his tefillah to Hashem. Again, we were just explaining, you have many different opinions of Rishonim, what all this means. Does it mean that Davka, there's a bigger problem davening in Aramaic than there is in any other foreign language? According to that, maybe if a person davens in English or Russian or what have you, there would be no problem with it, and the Malachim will pay attention to that. It's only Aramaic they have something against because they see it as a debased form of Lashon Kodesh. That's one way of understanding. Or do we mean that they don't listen to any foreign language except for, they only listen to Lashon Kodesh? And do we mean, for example, are we talking about the standard tefillahs that you find in the Siddur, or are we talking only about ad hoc tefillahs that a person says for a particular need of his or whatever? So there's a lot of different, but yes, there is the general idea that a yochid needs the malachim to help his tefillahs come before Hashem, and the tzibur does not. So to answer your question, most Jews daven in Lashon Kodesh, but a substantial number of Jews daven with tzibur, and then Hashem hears their tefillahs. And again, according to some Rishonim, what we're saying is, even when a yid is davening the yichidus, when he's davening the standard tefillahs, that may also be considered like the tefillah of the tzibur, because he is saying the same words that the tzibur usually says.
Yeah. All when right, you say the tzibur, you mean the entire Jewish people?
We mean a minion. That's a minion.
Okay, well, let's say in a reform community,
A reform community is a different question. I mean, they're not davening according to halacha. On the other hand, you may well have individual people there who feel that they're standing before Hashem and just their tenoikas shenishbu and don't know any better. What happens with their tefillahs? That's rachmana liba boy. Hashem looks for what's going on in the heart. So then Hashem will handle their tefillahs appropriately, I'm sure. Whether the malachim actually need to be involved, I don't know. Again, that'll be subject to the machlokas of whether the malachim deal with other languages outside Lashon Kodesh. I don't know. Ultimately, this is all, ultimately we have to know what we have to know, what the Gemara is saying in terms of practicalities of what we have to do, which is that when a yochid is davening, he should be davening in Lashon Kodesh, and that the tzibur has more leeway. Again, like the Acharonim say, not as a regular thing, just as a one-time thing or as an occasional thing or whatever, but what happens in any individual case, we'd have to ask the malachim themselves, I guess. But let's go on. We have ground to cover over here. So let's talk about this.
So later. On the opposite side of the scale, you're saying that if a yachid davens in Lashon Kodesh, he's practically guaranteed of having his tefillah presented.
The malachim will help him out, but they're not practically guaranteed. The malachim will help him out, but you still have to have, his tefillah still has to have a certain degree of kavanah in it. A tefillah without kavanah,
for example,
is not even considered a tefillah at all. So no, he's not practically guaranteed nothing, but the malachim are willing to help him out when he's davening in Lashon Kodesh. All right, let's go on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's go on. So the Gemara asks, "V'ein malachei hasharas makirin b'loshon arami." So you're telling me if I care, the malachei hasharas don't understand or don't pay attention to Aramaic? V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa, Yochanan Kohen Gadol shama baskom v'es kodesh hakadoshim. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the pastor, is the famous one who was Kohen Gadol for 80 years and became a tzaddiki, but whether it was him or a different one anyway, he one time heard a baskol coming out from the kodesh hakadoshim. Shu Omer, this baskol was announcing, Notzchu talaya, the young men have been victorious. De azalu la agocha krova la Antuchia, that they went to Antuchia, which is the city of Antioch. In those days, it was the capital of Syria. Nowadays, in southern Turkey, they went over there to fight a war, and they have been victorious. So Rashi explains. In other words, this is the point when the Hashmonaim are ruling over Eretz Yisrael. At one point, they went to fight with the Greeks before Yom Kippur. The actual battle took place, it actually says, on Yom Kippur. So now, when Yochanan was doing the Avodah, that Yom Kippur, he heard a baskel from the Kodesh HaKadoshim that the young men, the Hashmonaim, who had gone to this war, were victorious. And these words, Nitzchu Talaya, etc., are in Aramaic. and the Shuv Maisa B'Shimon HaTzadik. Then there's another story involving Shimon HaTzadik. Shashama Baskum of his Kodesh HaKadoshim. He heard a Baskol coming from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. At this point, the Gemara is assuming, of course, that the Baskol is mediated through a Malach. And so we see that the Malachim speak Aramaic. So he heard a Baskol from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shu Oimer, that was saying, Betelas Avidsa, the Avoida, the work, or the plan, the Omar was bottle, the Omar Sana'al I saw Alechola, that the enemy has planned to bring against the Heichol. The enemy, Rashi explains the word Avidta actually means the army. So they were planning to bring an army to attack to attack Yerushalayim and to attack the Beis Mikdash. So their plans have been bottled, have been frustrated. Venera Gaskalgas, and Gaskalgas, which Rashi says was the name of one of the Greek kings, has been killed, or bottled Xerosev, and his Xeros were bottled. And this took place, this took place. Again, he heard it from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the implication would be that they heard this on Yom Kippur. And the Kosvo Oysa Shah Vakivnu. So afterwards, after Yom Kippur, they wrote down the exact moment when he heard the sound and Vakivnu. And sure enough, it turned out that at the same moment he heard that Baskol is exactly when Gaskalgas had been killed. Uvaloshan Arami Hoya Oimer. And this Baskol was speaking in Aramaic. There is, by the way, so Rashi is saying over here that this Gaskalgas was a Greek king, and the implication seems to be that all this took place on Yom Kippur, just like the previous one with Yochanan and Kohen Gadol. There is an interesting explanation that actually this Gaskalgas is not exactly a Greek king, but rather a Roman one. He's known in history as Caligula. About 30 years before Churban Bayis Sheni, this Caligula decided he wants everybody to worship him as a god. And you find in history books of that time, you find Josephus writes about it. There was a Yid, one of the leaders of the Jewish community in Alexandria, named Philo, who went to intervene with Caligula about this. But kids, anyway, Caligula wanted statues of him put up and for him to be worshipped everywhere, including in the Beis Mikdash, and it became a whole huge thing. There were Jews who were going on Mesiras Nefesh to prevent it from happening. Anyway, the idea would be then Shimon HaTzadik over here would not be the regular Shimon HaTzadik from throughout Shas, who was at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash. This would be a later Kohen Gadol of that same name. And when he heard, and Gaskalgas is short, according to that, would be short for Gaius Caligulus, which is the guy's full name, that he was killed, which in fact history books tell us that he was. He was assassinated by his guards or something, and that's it. His Xera and his Xera was bottled. So according to that, it wouldn't have been Yom Kippur. History books tell us that he was killed sometime in January. Whatever the case, the point is, Megillas Tainis tells much the same story, including this phrase over here that Shimon HaTzadik heard, and it says that the date was Chof Beis Shvat, and they made that one of the Yom Tovim in Megillas Tainis, so that would fit well with a date in January. So according to that, it would mean it wasn't on Yom Kippur, it was some other time during the year, but they heard the sound coming from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Anyway, the point is, over Loshen Arami Hoya Omer, in both of those cases, with Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, and with Shimon HaTzadik, the Baskol was speaking in Aramaic. Now, if we assume that the Baskol is the voice of a Malach telling us something, telling us a message from Hashem, then we see the Malachim do speak Aramaic. So the Mo says, Iboy same a Baskol shiny. You could say that a Baskol is different to La Shmuri Avida. After all, a Baskol is there to give us information, to give us news. So therefore, it'll be in whatever language. People speak. So if that means that they have to use Aramaic, the Malachim may not like it, but they'll use it anyway. A related idea is that in this case it wasn't a Malach, rather it was a Baskol that was not a Malach. So that's one answer. The Borisem of Gavriel, however. Another answer, you could say that it wasn't just any Malach, it was Malach Gavriel. The Omamar, we learn later on in the Perek, when we talk about the whole story of Yosef with Potiphar's wife, and then afterwards when he was elevated to be prime minister of Egypt, where the Gemara says where they have Bo Gavriel Valimde Shivim Loshen, that the Gavriel came and taught Yosef the 70 languages overnight. So therefore, Gavriel, yes, understands and deals with all the languages, but not the other Malachim, who are the ones who would have to be bringing a person's tefillos to Hashem. So therefore, we could still answer that the Malachim, so according to the first answer, none of the Malachim care for the Aramaic language. According to the second answer, Gavriel does, but the other Malachim do not. And therefore these stories of a Baskol and Aramaic don't contradict that. Okay. The Mishnah continued. Birkas Hamazon, another thing that you can say in any language you want is benching. And the reason is, because the Pasuk says that, now Rashi said, so because the Pasuk says you should eat and you'll be satisfied, and you'll bench Hashem, implying whatever language you want to bless Hashem in. Rashi had in front of him a girsa minolon, where the Gemara asks, where do we know from? Rashi says, what do you need that? What do you mean, where do we know from? Why would we think that benching has to be in Lashon Kodesh, that we need to be told otherwise? Tosfos, on the other hand, keeps that girsa, because otherwise we would have thought it has to be similar to the brachos on how grisim and how evil, where we said before, you had the brach, and we said in the Mishnah, we're going to learn soon in the Gemara in more detail, that those were said in Lashon Kodesh, so you would think maybe we'd learn a Gzeder Shava, that maybe benching has to be in Lashon Kodesh as well, and therefore note, since it says a Beirachta, implies in whatever language you want it. Shavua Se'edus, another one we said was Shavua Se'edus, where a person beswears people to go say Edus for him in Beis Din, and they deny it and say, we don't know that Edus. If later on they were lying and later on they're ready to do Tshuva, then the Pasuk describes they bring a korban for it. Again, that Shavua could have been in any Lashon. Dichtiv Nefesh Kisechta, because the Pasuk says if a person sins, V'shama Kol Allah, and he hears the sound of an oath, meaning a shvua, which includes a curse. That again, the person beswore them to come testify for him. So that implies b'shama means b'choloshen chiyishem mas, whatever language they hear and understand it in, then it's valid. Again, Tosfos says that the reason why we need to say otherwise, we would have thought the Gemara is going to point out soon that by Matan Torah, it says the word koil, and Matan Torah was done in Lashon Kodesh. So you would think by the same token that maybe over here where it says Veshama koil Allah, you would think maybe it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. But no, we're saying the word Veshama teaches us then. Next, Shavuos HaPikodin. How do we know the same thing is true as far as Shavuos HaPikodin, which is, again, where Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me money, for example, because I left a Pikodin by you, or I've lent money to you, or you found something of mine that's lost, etc. And Shimon denies it and swears falsely. Later on, when Shimon is ready to do Tshuva, then again, he has to pay Kered B'chomish and he brings a Korban. So how do we know that can mean any language? Asya techta techta mishvosa edrus, because we make a gzeder shava on the word techta from shvosa edrus. We just established that shvosa edrus can be in any language, therefore so can shvosa pipodin. Okay, so that goes through all the things in the Mishnah that we said that can be said b'chol loshin. Next, ve'elu ne'emonin b'loshin ha'kodesh. We said the following things have to be said davka in Lashon Kodesh. The first mikra bikurim, the psukim that you say in connection with bikurim, arami ovadavi, etc. And the chalitza b'chula, and the psukim that the yavam and yavama say by chalitza, etc. Add mikra bikurim ketzad, and the Mishnah gives the whole list, and then it starts saying how do we know that mikra bikurim has to be in Lashon Kodesh. So we said because we learn Gzeder Shava, because the Pasuk says Va'anisa Va'amarta Lifnei, the Pasuk says we're not on the base yet. The Pasuk says Va'anisa Va'amarta Lifnei Hashem Alekecha, you should speak up and you should say before Hashem. By the brachos of Klolos, it says the Levim should speak up and say to Bnei Yisrael. So therefore we learn from that. Told the Jewish people. So ma'aniya hamur lahalom b'loshen hakodesh, just like the brachas of klolus of the Levim took place in Lashon Kodesh, afkan b'loshen hakodesh, the same way when it says va'nisa va'amarta by the Bikurim also has to be in Lashon Kodesh. Well, the question is, the answer is, Levim gufayu minolon, where by the Levim themselves that we know it was in Lashon Kodesh. Of course, I mean, you could say Balabatish, everybody knew Lashon Kodesh. At that point, why shouldn't it be in Lashon Kodesh? But still, we need a source for that. Why don't we say, for example, after, especially because the Psukim mentioned actually that the Gerim were that the Gerim had to listen to it as well. Maybe the Gerim speak other languages. Maybe the Levim had to do it in different languages. How do we know? To ask your koil koil mi Moshe, because in that, in turn, we learn Gzeder Shava on the word koil from Moshe. Ksiv hocha koil rom. Here it says the Levim have to speak in a loud voice. Moshe spoke and Hashem answered him with a voice. One meaning is that Moshe's voice is strong enough to speak to the Jewish people, that Hashem helped him with that, that his voice should be powerful enough. So Mala Halam, B'Loshon HaKodesh, just like my Matan Torah, it was in Loshon Kodesh, because the Torah was given in Loshon Kodesh. Afkan, B'Loshon HaKodesh, the same way by the Levium, on how grisim and how evil it had to be in Loshon Kodesh. The truth is, I mean, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, we had it recently in Ein Yaakov, that Hashem's voice by Matan Torah divided into all 70 languages. But nevertheless, when he's speaking, so that way, the Goyim would also be able to hear what's going on. My show explains this way. They couldn't complain that we would have accepted the Torah if it was given in our language. But nevertheless, the primary speaking to the Jewish people was being done in Loshon Kodesh. Oh yeah, you have the famous expression "Anochi Loshon Mitzvi." Fine, but the expression, the word "Anochi" itself, comes from the Egyptian language, but it's naturalized into Loshon Kodesh. But so Matan Torah was done in Loshon Kodesh. So we learn Gzeira Shava from that the brachas Aklolos were also done in Loshon Kodesh. And Tosfos deals a little bit with how we know that we're learning Davka from there. Why don't we say, for example, that we learn from Shavuos HaPikadon, and then because again you have the word Aniya and Koil. So you have all these things. You have Vonisa, Von Marta, and Koil. So therefore, that gives us more of a reason to make that Zeta Shava. And that's why, by the way, this that we learn a lot of these things from the Bracha Sequalus on how Grizim and how Evil is why, as we talked about yesterday, Mephoshim explained, that is why the Mishnah goes to the trouble of telling us all the details of that ceremony. I mean, you could say, Ma'ida Haba Haba, it happened a few thousand years ago. Why do we need to be told that in the Mishnah as Halacha for all time? The reason is because Taka from there, we're learning from that, we're learning these Halachas. And so once we mention it, then we want to go into the detail of how it was done. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Chalitza Ketzad V'chola, how do we know that Chalitza has to be done in Lashon Kodesh? So we said, the Chachamim say again that we learn a Gzeira Shava, and Rabbi Huda said, because it says, the Yavama speaks up, it says V'onsa V'omra, and so we make Gzeira Shava from V'onra Alavim, and then Rabbi Huda says, you don't need that Gzeira Shava because it says Kocha, and that means it has to be B'loshon Hazeh, exactly like that. Kocha means like this. So Rabbanon Hai Kocha Mai Abdile. So what are the Chachamim doing with the word Kocha? The answer is Mibo Lahu Ladovashu Maisa Ma'akiv. They say we learn from that the things that are Maisa are Ma'akiv, meaning in other words, we have to remember that in the Chalitza process, there are several different things done. There's the removal of the shoe from the Yavam's foot, there's the spitting on the ground, and there's saying the psukim. So now the Chachamim are saying that only the things that are Maisa are ma'akev. So if she doesn't actually remove the shoe, or Rashi says if she's not spitting, then those are ma'akev and the chalitza is possible. As opposed to if she doesn't say the psukim, then b'dievet it's not ma'akev. We learned in Yevamos actually that it has to be that she and he are capable of saying the psukim. But then if they're able to speak normally and they just don't say them, then you yotze b'dieved. But if they're unable to say them in the first place, we said it is ma'akev. But in any case, the taking off the shoe and the spitting is ma'akev. Rashi mentions that the spitting is ma'akev. Tosfos actually points out that in Yevamos you have two different opinions about that, and the halacha is actually like Rabbi Akiva that the spitting is not ma'akev either, because it only has to be, or because it's not something that touches the actual Yavam himself. Only the removal of the shoe is the only thing according to Rabbi Akiva that's ma'akev. Anyway, so the Chachamim are learning from the word kocha that's how it is that you have to do what it says in the psukim. Rabbi Yehuda, so what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, Mikoi Kocha. He says, the Pasuk could have said the word Koi. She could say, Va'onsa Va'omra Koi Ye'osalish. And instead it says Kocha. So therefore, we can learn from that both, that it has to be the Maisin have to be done, and that it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. Rabbanon, where's the Chachamim, would answer back, Koi Kocha Le'mash Malahu. They don't hold that that's a way of Daushening. They hold that it's normal for the Pasuk to use the word Kocha, and therefore we can't Daushen anything. Therefore, we can't Daushen anything from it. The Rashba gives an explanation when Rabbi Huda is saying that we learn from Koi versus Kocha. He says, in other words, that Koi would just mean so, whereas Kocha means exactly like this. It's not just the fact that there's the extra Chof. The word Koi and Kocha actually have different shades of meaning, whereas the Chachamim would say they don't. They basically mean the same thing. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda hai va'onsa va'omra mai ovidlei. What is Rabbi Yehuda doing with the Gzeira Shava from va'onsa va'omra, which is where the Chachamim are learning that Chalitza has to be done in Lashon Kodesh? If Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I don't hold of that, I hold that we learn from Kocha, then what is he doing with the Gzeira Shava? The answer is Miborilev, Agmur Lelevim, the Lashon HaKodesh. Just the opposite. You need that to teach the concept that the Levim's Brachas HaKlolis were done in Lashon HaKodesh. In other words, that itself, which in turn is going to be a source for other halachas, that we say that other things have to be done in Lashon HaKodesh, and we learn them by Gzeira Shava from the Levim. Well, how do we know? The Levim themselves said in Lashon HaKodesh, Rabbi Yehuda says we're learning from, so in other words, according to the Chachamim, we said, we're learning that the Levim said in Lashon HaKodesh, we just said from a Gzeira Shava on the word koil, where it says that Moshe Dabav Elokim Yanenab Koil versus the Levim Koil Rum. So we learn from that, just like Hashem spoke to Moshe in Lashon HaKodesh, the same way the Levim announced to the Jewish people in Lashon HaKodesh. And then in turn, we learn from that to the various other halachas. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's not where we start out from. We start out from Chalitza. Since it says Kocha, Rabbi Yehuda says it means it has to be exactly like that in Lashon HaKodesh. Since it says by Chalitza, it says Va'onsa Va'omra, and by the Levim, it says Va'onu Va'omru. So that gives us a Gzeira Shava to tell us that the Levim announced in Lashon HaKodesh. And then we can use that to say, based on that, that Mikra Bikurim and all the other things listed in the Mishnah have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara. Because of the same Gzeira Shava. Once we have by the Levim, Va'onu Va'omru, then we learn that other things where it says Va'onu or Va'onsa also means that it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. So that's why we said in the Mishnah that Mikra Bikurim and Chalitza and so on and so forth, all of those have to be done. Parshas Egla Arufa and so forth have to be done in Lashon Kodesh. Ultimately, we're learning each one of them by Gzeira Shava from the Levim. So the question is, then, in that case, why does Rabbi Yehuda have to learn it that way? Why doesn't he learn the same Gzeira Shava as the Chachamim did, from the fact that it says Koil Rom by the Levim, and it says Moshe Yadabu by the Kimyan and Koil by Matan Torah? The answer is, Aniya Gomer, Koil Le Gomer. The answer is that Rabbi Yehuda had not learned both of those Gzeira Shavas from his Rebbeim. We know that a person can't make up his own Gzeira Shava. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda had learned the Gzeira Shava from his Rebbeim of the word Aniya, of Va'onsa versus Va'onu, that he learned, but he didn't learn that there's a Gzeira Shava on the word Koil between the Levim and Matan Torah, therefore he couldn't use that Gzeira Shava. So therefore he needs a different source to say that the Levim did the Brachas HaKlolis in Lashon HaKodesh. So he does that by learning from Chalitza, and then in turn he uses that from the Brachas HaKlolis, he's able to learn to Mikra Bikurim and Egla Arufa and the rest of them. Had he learned the Gzeira Shava Koil like the Chachamim, you're right, he wouldn't need the Gzeira Shava from Vons of Omra for that, but now that he doesn't have that Gzeira Shava, then he needs that, and therefore, so he says that the original source of all of this is the fact that it says Kocha by Chalitza. So that's how it is, in other words. So to recap, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the original source for Lashon Kodesh is by Chalitza, then we learn a Gzeira Shava from that to the Levim, from Va'onsa Va'omra to Va'onu Va'omru, and then from that we learn Gzeira Shava to every place else where it says Aniya and Amira, for example, by the Kohen Gadol, by the Mashuach Melchama, and by the Egla Arufa, and by Mikra Bikurim, and whatever, that all of those have to be in Lashon Kodesh as well. That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. The Chachamim, meanwhile, we said, and Rabbi Yehuda also knows that by Chalitza, the Maisa Mama Akiv, he says, we learn from the fact that it could have said Koi, and instead it says Kocha. So meanwhile, the Chachamim go about it a whole different way. They say the fact that the Levim did it in Lashon Kodesh, we learn from a Gzeira Shava from Har Sinai, from Matan Torah. Then in turn from that, we learn a Gzeira Shava to all the other cases, including Chalitza. So they hold that Chalitza is also learned by that same Gzeira Shava that's in Lashon Kodesh. They don't hold that the word Kocha means that. They hold the word Kocha means only that the Chalitza, the actual Maisim have to be done, the taking off the shoe, and according to Rashi, also the spitting, and the fact that it's in Lashon Kodesh, they learn from the Gzeira Shava. And then the same Gzeira Shava goes for all the other things. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda, in a kol makam shenema koi kocha, whenever it says in the Torah either the word koi or kocha, or it says aniya va'amira, or it says the word aniya, which means to speak up, va'amira and to say. So all of those things, ela loshen hakodesh, all of those things, eina ela loshen hakodesh, all of those mean exclusively loshen hakodesh. For example, koi, an example would be koi sevaruchu. And we're going to learn later on in the parak that Birkas Kohenim has to be done dafka in Lashon Kodesh. We learned it in the Mishnah already. Kocha de Chalitza. By Chalitza, you have the word Kocha. And Aniyav Amira de Levim. And by the Levim, you have the where it says the word Aniyav Amira. So, So in other words, so again, the same way, for example, as when it comes to duchening, when it comes to Birkas Koyanim, later on in the Perek, we're going to say the Chachamim learn it from the same Gzeira Shava from the Levim. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm not learning it from that Gzeira Shava. I'm learning it from the fact that it says Koy Sevoruch. Same thing by the Levim. He's not learning it from, you Chachamim are learning from the Gzeira Shava of Koyol. I don't hold that Gzeira Shava. Therefore, instead, I'm learning from the fact that it says Ani of Amira. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said brachas of klolus kates. And how did the brachas of klolus take place? Kivin she'ovri Yisrael. So Yarden chola. We said the Jewish people crossed the Yarden and they went to Har Grizim and Har Abel and they set up the stones over there. So now the Mishnah makes the point of saying that they came to Har Grizim and Har Abel that are in Shomron near Shechem by Eloine Moira. In other words, like we talked about yesterday, you have the city of Shechem. Nowadays it goes by the Arab name Nablus. So you have two mountains on the two sides of it, Har Grizim on one side, Har Abel on the other. So now, so they had to go to that area, which is in the territory of Shomron. When the Mishnah uses the word Shomron, it's an anachronism, actually. It means that in the time of the Mishnah, that place, that area was known as Shomron. The city of Shomron itself was the capital of the Aseret HaShevatim. It was built much later. It was built by one of the kings of Israel called Omri. This is, we're talking 500-600 years after the Brachas HaKlolos was set over there, 500 years later. But afterwards, that became the capital of the Aseret HaShevatim, and the whole area was named after it. Even nowadays, when they talk about the territories, you talk about Yehuda and Shomron. So that became the general name for that area, including the city of Shechem. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah means when it's saying the area of Shomron. In other words, if you talk to a Yid when they were crossing the Yarden, when they were coming into Eretz Yisrael, and saying this is an area of Shomron, you have no idea what you're talking about. Shomron didn't exist yet. But later on, it became part of what we know in later times as Shomron. Anyway, the point is, we're saying these are the actual two mountains that flank the city of Shechem. So now the Gemara is going to discuss that point. Turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa. Now we have to look at a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. At the beginning of Parashas Re'eh, Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people about that they're going to do the brachas of klolos, and later on in Parashas Kisavai, Hashem gives all the details of how the ceremony is supposed to be done. So you have a pasuk that goes like this. Haloi hema be'ever ayarden, are they not, meaning they most certainly are, on the other side, let's quote the whole pasuk first, then we're going to explain it phrase by phrase in the Gemara. Haloi hema be'ever ayarden, are they not on the other side of the Yarden, which fine, you know, they're standing on the east side of the Yarden, when Moshe is saying this to them, so it means it's going to be across the Yarden. Achre, further, derech mevoy ha-shemesh, the way of the sun's going, Be'eretz HaKnani, in the land of the Knani, HaYoshev Arava, who live in the Arava, which is the valley of the Yarden, Mula Gilgal, opposite Gilgal, Eitel Eloine Moira, near Eloine Moira. That's how the pasuk goes. So now we're going to explain phrase by phrase what this is telling us about where, how Grizim and how Abel are located. So turn it up on him. Haloi Hema Be'eretz HaYarden, when it says, aren't they on the other side of the Yarden? That means Rabbi Yehuda says that means it's not directly across the Yarden, it's much further. You cross the Yarden, and then you're going to be going a considerable distance until you reach Har Grizim and Har Abel. And in fact, if you look on a map, you'll see that Shechem is well inland. It's not near the Yarden. So they'd have to be traveling quite a distance until they reach Shechem. But Rabbi Yehuda says that's what the pasuk means. Be'ever Yarden, you shouldn't think it means immediately across the Yarden. You're going to find Har Grizim and Har Abel. No, it means you have to go a much further distance through the other side of the Yarden, through Eretz Yisrael proper, until you reach Shechem. So Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. When he continues, when it says Achrei Derech Mevoy HaShemesh, when it continues after the way of the sun's going, so he understands Mevoy HaShemesh means Mokem Shechama Zerachas, means in the direction where the sun rises. So Achrei means further away. We often find that the word Achrei means Muflag, means far away, as opposed to Achar often means close. So therefore, Achrei Derech Mevoy HaShemesh means you're going to have to go a much further distance than the direction than the sun rises. In other words, the Yarden is on the east side of Eretz Yisrael proper. You're going to be crossing the Yarden. You're going to be traveling much further inland from the east side of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to reach Shechem, which is much further inland. So he says, you know, Mavoya Shemesh means the sun is rising. And in fact, you have in different places, usually Mavoya Shemesh, like Bo Shemesh or whatever, usually means that it sets. But sometimes it can mean that's coming as in it's rising. You have, for example, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Kumi Ori Ki Va Orech. So that can mean different Mephoshim, understand it differently. Doesn't mean Kumi Ori, come shine, Ki Va Orech, your light is coming, Mashiach is coming, Hashem is taking you out of Golos. Or does it mean just the opposite? Kumi Ori, come shine, because until now, Ki Va Orech, till now your sun had, your light had set, and now it's rising again. So in other words, the word Ba can mean either. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying it means the rising of the sun. So he continues, Be'eretz Knani Ayoshev Arava, when it continues in the land of the Knani who live in the Arava. So you should know, Elo Har Grizim, Bahar Evel, Sheyoshvim Kusiyim. You should know that this refers to Har Grizim and Har Evel, where currently, when Rabbi Yehuda is saying this well over 1,000 years after Matan Torah, the Kusim live there. We know that you have that Sancheirov took the Aseres HaShavatim into Golos, repopulated the whole area of Shomron with various Goyim that he had brought from different parts of his empire, including from a city called Kusa, and therefore they became called Kusiyim. Even now, you have a tiny little remnant of their community lives there on Har Grizim. It's interesting. Actually, you drive through there. You can find on the storefronts and on signs and whatever, you find things written in their ancient alphabet. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin they took over the alphabet that the Jewish people in general used during the time of the first Beis Mikdash, which is called Ksav Ivri, and they modified it a little bit and they continue to use it Ada Yemazeh, whereas we use Ksav Ashuri. You travel in those areas, you'll actually find they have lots of signs and things that are written in their writing system.
It's a small city. Right?
It's a small area in Har Grizim near Shechem. Anyway, so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says you should know that Har Grizim and Har Evel we're talking about are the ones where the Kusim live in our times. Next, the pasuk continues. So that's what it means. Be'eretz Knani Ayoshev Arava Mul HaGilgal means Samoch LaGilgal. Means that it's near Gilgal. So he's saying, in other words, Gilgal is also far away from the coursing of the Yarden. So this place where you're going to is relatively near Gilgal. And the pasuk continues, Eitzel Eloinei Murder, that this is all next to Eloinei Murder. And you should know that Eloinei Murder is Shechem. And we know that because Lahalan Hu Omer, because like we learned in the Mishnah, it says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekoyim Shechem Ad Eilin Mora. Avram was traversing throughout Israel until he reached the area of Shechem, until he reached Eilin Mora. So Ma Eilin Mora, Homa Lahalan Shechem. So just like over there, it means Shechem, Afkan Shechem, the same way over here. Eilin Mora means Shechem. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, like we said in the Mishnah, that that's what it means. They actually went to the area of Shechem and they did the ceremony of the Brachas of Klavos over there. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. However, so now the Gemara continues, Tanya. Now we learn in a Braisa. Actually, it actually says take out the word Tanya. It's not really a separate Braisa. It's all the continuation of the previous Braisa. Agos Habach also takes it out for the same reason. So Rabbi Omer Rabbi Loza Rabbi Yosi, the Dover Zayafti Sifre Kusim. Rabbi Loza Rabbi Yosi points out, in this matter, I showed that the books of the Kusim are forged. Now, the Kusim, we said, that when they were brought to Eretz Yisrael, so the Pesukim and Malachim described that originally they were being attacked by lions, and they sent an urgent message to Sancheirev. Apparently, the god of this country doesn't like us worshipping our idols in his country. In those times, there was the Goyish notion was that every country has its own god. So when you're in this country, you worship its gods, and when you're in that country, etc. So they figured Hashem is the god of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore he doesn't want us worshiping our gods over here. They didn't have the understanding that Hashem rules the whole world. So the Pesukim describe over there, Sancheirov sent a Koyan over there to teach them the basics of Yiddishkeit. But the Pesukim describe, they continued to worship their Avodah Zarah, but they were doing it b'shutfus with Hashem. They're doing it in partnership with Hashem. You have machloikas all over Shas. Did they ever give up Avodah Zarah? Did they ever become sincere gerim? Eventually, in the times of Reb Meir, a few hundred years later, they discovered that they're worshiping an image of a dove, and then they declared them goyim gmurim. Up to that point, you have throughout Shas, you have a machloikas, whether they're considered gerim or not. Anyway, the point is that along with that, they also, so this Kohen taught them the basics of Yiddishkeit. He also taught them the Chamisha Chumshei Torah.
So he did it because the king told them to do it?
Because the king told them to do it, because they were saying they want to become Gerim. So he taught them the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Of course, they have their version of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but it's written, there are many differences. It's broadly the same as ours, but there are many differences. It's also written in that different alphabet that I was mentioning, but there's a lot of differences between theirs and ours. It's interesting, they only have Sefer, they only have the five Chumashim, and they have a book that they call Sefer Yoshua, although theirs is completely different. They have no other books of our Tanakh. There's an interesting point. Rabbi Avigdor Miller makes an interesting point in a couple of his Sfarim. Why is that so? Is because this Kohen came and taught them was from the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim themselves, all they were interested in was those Sfarim. Because you have to think of it, the next Sfarim of Tanakh were written by Shmuel HaNavi. They weren't interested in Sfarim from Shmuel HaNavi. He appointed David as king. They rebelled against David. So therefore, they rejected all of Shmuel's Sfarim and any of the Sfarim after that. Of course, they didn't have Tillim because it was written by David. They didn't have Mishlei and Kehelas and so forth because they were written by Shlomo. So therefore, the only ones they had were the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yoshua. By the time they seceded and formed their own kingdom, those Sfarim were 400 or 500 years old. They weren't going to reject those. And they had, especially Yoshua, they have nothing against Yoshua. It's from Shevet Ephraim. So therefore, so that ended up getting transmitted to the Kosim and Adai Yemazeh, this is what they had. Anyway, the point is that the Kusim, again, their Sifrei Torah, if you want to call them that, have a number of differences between ours and theirs. So now Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi is pointing out, I demonstrated to them at one point that there's something in their Sfarim that's forged, that was added incorrectly. So Amarti Lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer says, I said to them, Ziyaftem Torahschem, you forged your Torah, you've added something in your Torah that doesn't really belong there. V'loy ha'elisim b'yedchem klum. But what you did didn't really accomplish anything. It was worthless to do that. Sha'atim omrim eloy ne'morashchem. Now you're saying in your Torahs, you have, when it says over here, Eitzel Eloi Nemorah, you inserted the word Shechem. If you look, actually, if you were to go look, you can find online nowadays, you have the text of the Samaritan Torah, and you'll find over there that actually in that pasuk they have, when it says Eitzel Eloi Nemorah, they have the word added Shechem. So they inserted it into the words of the Torah. So Rabbi Elazar tells them, af onu moedim she'elon emoder shchem. Sure, we also agree that elon emoder is shchem. Onu leman nur b'gzeira shava, but we learned it by gzeira shava from Avraham Avinu. Atem b'melamadtum. How did you learn it? You don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. So where did you ever get? Where would you ever have gotten the idea that it means shchem? So it's something that you added, and you don't even have a valid basis for it. And you have, by the way, there were other places in their Torah where they also did this kind of thing. The Aseres HaDibros, actually, they have an extra dibra added to build a mikdash on Har Gerizim. So they have there was a big thing by them that they have to have that Har Gerizim is their center of worship as opposed to the Beis Hamikdash, which again they got that from the Aseres HaShvatim who had rejected the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, like they made a big deal of inserting in various places in their Torah, and there's other places also where Rabbi Elazar and other Chachamim point out to them that these are forgeries, and you should realize that your ancestors who put those into the Torah didn't know what they're talking about.
Didn't believe in Beis
Hamikdash. Yeah, that's the whole point, is they had the Eglazov and Beis Elan and Dan.
Forced.
No, that was, Yeravam started it, but eventually they came to like them, and even when Hesheb and Ela took away the guards, they didn't start going, most of them didn't start going to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so all of that is one way of understanding that, of understanding where Har Gerizim and Har Ebal are. They're located in what's now the land of the Kusim. This is, in fact, the Kusim themselves have in their Torahs that it's Shechem, but the fact is we don't learn it from them, we learn it from Gzeirah Shavah. Now, on the other hand, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says that no, when it says Haloi Hema Be'Eber HaYaudin, the Pasuk is saying that they're on the other side of the Yaudin, that means Samach LaYaudin, that means it has to be close to the Yaudin, De'ime Eber HaYaudin Be'Elach, because how could it be much further than the crossing of the Yaudin? Haloi Ksiv V'Hoya Be'Avrachem HaSe Yaudin, the Pasuk says when you cross the Yaudin, implying as soon as you cross the Yaudin, you have to do the Barachas HaKlalis on the same day. So what do you mean? How would they be able to go all the way to Shechem all on one day and be able to do that?
When they get there.
No, but the Pasuk is saying, but over the Chemes Yarden, as soon as you cross the Yarden, implying that on the very same day you cross the Yarden, you have to do that. But Shechem is very far away from the Yarden. How are they going to reach there in one day? Rabbi Elazar continues, when it says Achrei Derech Mevoya Shemesh, when it says beyond the way of the Mevoya Shemesh, so he understands Mevoya Shemesh means the setting of the sun. Mokam Shachama Shekas, it means that it's the area where the sun sets. In other words, not like Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it means that they have to, that it means that Achrei Derech Mevoya Shemesh means far from where the sun rises, meaning that they have to travel much further west to Shechem. Just the opposite, it says, it means that you have to go to the area Just the opposite. It means no. So just the opposite. You have to go to an area where you find mountains that are far from where the sun sets. So parquet, not the ones by Shechem, but rather the ones closer to the Yarden. The sun sets further when you're standing by the Yarden. The sun sets towards the west over Shechem. You need to be far away from that, closer to the Yarden. And he continues, Be'eretz Knani. When it says in the land of the Knani, really Eretz Achivi. That land, the land of Shechem, is the area of the Chivi. Now, fine, okay, that's not such a big question because we see, for example, that Shechem, the prince of the city of Shechem, who ate dinner, was the Pasuk calls him Achivi. So we see that that area is the land of the Chivi, and here the Pasuk is calling it Eretz Knani. So, okay, Maharsha says Rebbe Elazar doesn't mean that to be such a big question, because fine, Knani is a generic term for all the seven nations, but still. And he continues, Hayoshev ba'arava, but you have to ask, when you say that they dwell in the Arava, what do you mean? The Arava is the valley of the Yarden. What do you mean? Ben Horem Agvois, and Yoshuin. What do you mean? Shechem is nowhere near the Arava. It's between the mountains and the hills. So how is it called Arava? Arava literally means the plain, the flatlands, but Shechem is not in the flatlands. And what do you mean, Mul HaGilgal? What do you mean, opposite, meaning near Gilgal, Valley Leroas HaGilgal? You can't see Gilgal from Shechem. Gilgal, where they first camped when they entered Eretz Yisrael, is right near the Yarden. It's very far away from Shechem. So therefore, Sir Rabbi Elazar is saying, in other words, in short, we can't understand the Pesukim, the way Rabbi Yehuda is saying, because then the geography that the Pesuk is saying doesn't really fit at all. So in fact, so he doesn't explain what his opinion is. Rashi explains, Rabbi Yaakov is going to go on now in the Gemara to give a different explanation of the Pasuk, but therefore, so Rabbi Elazar doesn't have to give his own explanation. He's going to rely on what Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov is going to explain. Tosfos actually brings from the Yerushalmi that Rabbi Elazar does in fact disagree. He says that we're not talking about the well-known Hagrizim and Har-Evel that flank the city of Shechem. Rather, Rabbi Elazar would say what Hashem told them to do is set up two big piles of dirt when they cross the Yarden, go make one pile and call it Hagrizim, make another pile and call it Har Abel, and then do the Baruch HaSakolus right there by the banks of the Yarden. So according to that, then, yeah, it's not that they're traveling all the distance to Shechem, but rather that they're building something right there. Tosfos also brings an interesting thing from the Yerushalmi that says that, in fact, it wasn't right as soon as they crossed the Yarden. It was actually only after the 7 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, the 7 years of dividing it, only then did they do that. And the Yerushalmi explained the setting up the stones they did right away, because they took the stones from the Yarden and the Pesukim from Yeshua make it clear they set it up right away, but the Brachas of Klolus were only many years later. Once they settled Eretz Yisrael and once all the other mitzvahs at Luis Baritz come into effect. Yeah, you want to say something?
I was asking you that this questions weren't, they weren't asked the question of these questions, right?
The Kursim weren't bothering with that. These are questions the Chachamim are discussing among themselves. The Kursim had clearly in their Torahs where they write the word Shechem. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi points out to them that they don't really have a good basis for saying that. Now the Chachamim are arguing, does it in fact mean Shechem or not? Rabbi Yehuda is saying yes, based on the Gzeir Shava from Elohim Moda. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar is pointing out that the landmarks that are mentioned in the Pesukim don't seem to fit with Shechem. So now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Elazar, Loi Bar Kosev El Laharis Lan Derech B'Shnia K'Derech Sheher Lan B'Rishon. The Pesuk, when it's saying over here, so Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov is agreeing with Rabbi Elazar that Har Grizim and Har Abel are nowhere near Shechem. They're much closer to the Yarden. Maybe not necessarily would he say like what the Yerushalmi says, that they set up two mountains there of their own, but maybe it would mean, in other words, there are some mountains closer to the Yarden, natural mountains that are called Har Grizim and Har Abel also when they did them. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Loi bo hakosav el laharis land bashnia. The Pesuk is only coming to tell you simonim, landmarks, laharis land derech bashnia, to show them the proper way to go now the second time, meaning after they cross the Yarden, kederech sheher similar to the way Hashem showed them at first. Meaning at first means when they left Mitzrayim, so Hashem gave them a pillar of cloud to show them the right way to go. Now, after Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, after they cross the Yarden, they're not going to have that anymore. So therefore, Hashem is giving them landmarks to know which way they should go. So in other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, the Pesukim are not telling you how to go to Har Grizim and Har Abel for the ceremony, but rather what's the best way to enter Eretz Yisrael in the first place. So he says, when he says derech means by derech lechu, go on the straight roads, v'loy b'sodas akramim, don't take shortcuts through fields and vineyards. When it says Hayoshev, that they dwell, means Beyishuv Lachu, go through the settled areas, Veloiba Midboris, don't go through the desert areas. Ba'arava, and when it says Ba'arava in the valley, Ba'arava Lachu, Veloiba Horim Mugvois, go through the valley, don't go through the mountains and hills. So in other words, Rabbi Lazar, so Rashi explains, again, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Lazar that how Grizim and Har Evel are not located near Shechem, they're located closer to the Yarden, but the Torah is basically giving the Jewish people practical advice when you're entering Eretz Yisrael, and you're not going to have the cloud, you're not going to have the Amud HaAnan to show you which way to go, then here are some basic guidelines that you should use for how you should go.
Stop when they came to the
show. No, Amud actually stopped as soon as Moshe passed away. What it actually said, the Gemara elsewhere says actually that it was originally in the schus of Aaron, and then it disappeared after Aaron passed away, and then it came back in the schus of Moshe. So, but now Zayin Adar, when Moshe passed away, then that disappeared. So now Hashem is telling them that you're not going to have the Amud HaAnan, therefore I need to tell you some basic guidelines that you should know when you're entering Eretz Yisrael. There is some discussion about that. There are some Achronim who learn the Gemara differently and say that Rabbi Lazar and that Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Lazar and that Rabbi Lazar is in fact not he's asking more questions on Rabbi Huda and more clearly saying like what it says in the Yerushalmi that the whole thing was near the Yarden and not the actual Har Grizim and Har Evel, but rather mounds of dirt that they set up for the purpose. There's also an interesting possibility that maybe Hashem is telling them is in fact telling them to go to Shechem for this purpose. But in other words, Hashem is telling them what's the best road to get to go to Shechem rather than when you cross the Yarden opposite Yericho. You'd have to end up going through mountains and whatever to get to Shechem. So Hashem is telling them kind of like, look, here, GPS kind of, here's a God positioning system. So here's the right road to go by which you'll get to Shechem. So according to that, then it would come out that Rabbi Lazman Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that it wasn't Shechem. He's just saying that the words Achre Derech Mavoy Hashem have a different, and Beretz Knani Yosheb Arava have a bit of a different meaning. Mausha points out, by the way, that Rashi in Chumash takes yet another view of it. Rashi explains the word Achre and Derech are separated by Tura. Achre has a Pashta, Derech has a Yisiv, both of which are separating Tura. So therefore, we understand that Achre, you have to go very far away from the Yarden, Derech Mavoy HaShemesh, in the direction that the sun sets. Maharsha points out that doesn't really fit either of the opinions that were saying in the Gemara over here. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar seem to understand Achre Derech Mavoy HaShemesh as being one sense beyond the way of the Mavoy HaShemesh. So in other words, either Mavoy HaShemesh means the sunrise or it means the sunset, as the case may be, whereas Rashi on the Pasuk is saying that no, it means Achre, you have to go very far beyond the Yarden, and where are you going? Derech Mavoy HaShemesh, towards the direction where the sun sets, namely Shechem. So it's another way, a more Ben Chomish L'Mikra type way of explaining the Pasuk, basically. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with the details of how the Jewish people crossed the Yarden and how they set up these stones in Gilgal and how Grizim and how Evel and how they did the whole thing. Okay.